Jeez, yeah.
Welcome, everybody. I was just in the middle of reading a tweet. Very good. Let's follow that. So we're gonna talk about, as we said on the show, how we initially got into politics. I know we were talking about our first votes. Maybe we could repeat that and go a little bit more depth. I had a question though, because you were just talking about Halloween, the original Halloween.
But I have not seen any movies, just so we're clear.
I haven't seen any of the Halloweens.
But you've watched some TV, good, right?
I watched a lot of TV. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What have you watched lately that's good before?
90 Day Fiancé, you're welcome.
I used to watch a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. It's
pretty
great.
Good. It's pretty
really
good.
Great.
Is it a reality show?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It's about people who got the K-1 visa.
Uh-huh.
Got 90 days once they touch ground in the U.S. to get married. Yeah.
Oh, really? What's the K-1 visa?
It's a visa for someone
from another country.
Yeah, from another country, marrying an American.
Oh, okay.
And they can stay if you get married to them.
You have to get married
90 days of them getting approved.
But don't you have to have already met the person, or is the idea?
Okay, so the problem
they
is
meet
like
them online
when you're not like some super rich American, you're just kind of a regular American who's you can't afford to have spent that much face-to-face time together.
Oh, so you come and then you're like, you see, is this going to work out?
You'll be shocked to find out that some of these people that come over aren't really interested in the person.
That's where we go.
No, right.
And it gets really awkward.
And it's, we all see it, but they don't see it.
Is it always women, the Americans, all men? So it's both.
Seemed to be mostly women coming over, but it's not totally.
Are they clearly from a different land? Are they hard to hear? Are they understandable?
Oh, most of them speak English.
But with accented, do you have to subtitle it?
Oh yeah, I mean they've lived in. We don't have to subtitle it all.
No. They don't subtitle it.
Would I have to subtitle?
Yeah, you have to. No, you even with Brazil, the subtitles, you just be mad at them because they're from another culture.
Mexico, Russia, Nigeria.
I watched one, and there was this guy who had a woman. I think she was from Russia, and she came over, and like I'm not an optimist. This guy is the biggest optimist in the world because episodes in. He really thought that someday she was gonna sleep with him. And everybody in the country's watching that show thinking, that ain't never gonna happen.
So she wouldn't even, gonna marry him without sleeping with him?
I don't remember if they got married. I don't think they ended up getting married.
Huh?
That was her goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would imagine that you would just sleep with the person because you're focused on the visa.
The stuff
relationships
that they get away with, I agree, but there was a woman who brought her man over. Where was he from? Oh my gosh, it starts with a T. And it's
going
to, no,
Trinidad.
But he wouldn't, it wasn't in an island country. He wouldn't kiss her on their wedding day. So they got married in the backyard. No.
Turkmenistan?
Maybe it wasn't a T. But he wouldn't kiss her.
Thailand?
He said that it was against his religious beliefs to kiss on that Tuesday.
It was against his religious beliefs to kiss someone he had no interest in ever kissing.
So they gave high fives at the wedding.
He wouldn't even kiss married.
No, a wedding day.
Was she a good looking person?
I think that's inappropriate for me to say.
Oh, wow.
Well, right, so this is not only beautiful people, this show. That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, in Mike's.
He was beautiful.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so he's a.
They're regular people.
He was using this person.
And they went on this back and forth. This lasted for years. She would say that she was going to file for an annulment of the marriage because he moved out. He was with other women. Because if she filed for an annulment and it got approved, then he would have to immediately go back. He wanted a divorce because that would mean she would be on the line to take care of him for the next 10 years and he'd get to stay.
So he would
sweet talk her for a couple of days. She would take the annulment off of like the court docket. They went back and forth. They did this over and over again until finally.
There's a lot of abusing people. I saw one couple in, I think, Venice that was very happy.
Venice?
Yeah, here. Right. Yeah, I think it was a Russian one again, but yeah, that one worked. And also watch Below Deck. That's a fun one.
Below Deck is good.
The one season I saw was good.
Yeah, Chrissy Teigen loves Below Deck. I don't really follow along.
Is that like stuff that happens on a cruise ship?
Mm-hmm. It's people who work on like a charter
cruise.
Not a cruise ship. It's smaller.
But like rented out by rich people for parties,
crazy rich
vacations, right?
Yeah,
they sleep there throughout the whole season.
Yeah, it's just people sleeping with each other, mostly. But it's good.
And the drama that occurs from that.
Yeah, and there's always the one person who doesn't work. Will they get fired? And they do, because they don't deserve the job. So what I wanted to ask you was, you were talking about Halloween. I've been watching some older movies. We've been doing like
your version
movie
of
screenings.
Older movie. You watch like that's like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So like we watched Big last time, which I love.
Oh, that's
Big.
Cute. Yeah.
I like Big.
Babe, we've been watching some older movies. What the fuck's wrong?
No, that's not the
Big's
older
great.
Movie I'm talking about.
Okay, but
by the way, in Big, I don't know if you've seen Big. You remember Big, right?
I do.
That friend his friend, the kid, who I as a kid was like, this kid's the coolest in the world. I didn't understand how awesome he was. The whole time, Tom Hanks is like going to the cities all scared. This kid's like coming in and out of the city like it's no big deal. When he leaves Tom Hanks in that terrible hotel, the kid just goes home at like midnight. The kid's like 9. He's coming from the city. He's in the worst neighborhood in New York City. And he's like, whatever. He just walks out. There's gunshots going off. That little redheaded kid, badass. Anyway, what I wanted to ask you about was slightly older. It was I finally sat down and watched Nightmare on Elm Street for the first time. And I wanted to ask you, when that first came out, was it considered an actual scary movie, or was it just funny because it's ridiculous?
You know, maybe I can't answer that. I think it was considered scary. I think it's generally considered scary.
What? Okay. Wait, that's still scary now.
Seems like they're really trying to be funny about it.
Heather Langenkamp, who's the star of that movie, either went to school with me or her brother did. Huh. Matt Langenkamp. He was quite a hitter in softball.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask second.
Matt Langenkamp had tremendous power.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time with I know that it's something that makes me uncultured and will make me transitioning out of politics into movies as I want to difficult, but I have a hard time with older movies because they're just edited so horribly.
But dude, why are you? I mean, it is literally like saying I don't read books written prior to 2006 because they're just written so poorly.
That's not the same thing.
It is exactly the same thing.
Specific technological changes. Novels are technically the same as they were 100 years ago.
Editing in a movie, good editing in a movie is, and there's not an editor working in the country that would say this, the same techniques are still being used today. The exact same
technique. I
don't
think they were as good at it.
No, they were as good at it.
You think I'm just watching bad movies.
I think that you are saying something indefensibly stupid. I don't know what you've been doing.
Well, okay, I will say that movie was not edited wonderfully. I remember watching, so I like zombie movies, and I was watching some of the old Romero zombie movies, and the editing is a complete joke. Like, they want to show someone being stabbed, and they don't know how to shoot it. They don't know how many frames they need to have. It's juvenile.
Okay, violence in movies has gotten much more realistic. I don't think I don't think that that's necessarily because the editing techniques have improved. It's the willingness to show blood. Like, and what that meant if you show, you know, blood was never the right color. Even like I just saw the original Suspiria, Dario Argento's original. It's now being remade. Even then, in that movie, and it's Italian, like, and the blood is like the color of your dress, like it's too
bright,
way too bright. I mean, and there's a scene where a dog that looks just like my dog, exactly like my dog, tears the throat out of its blind owner, right? Because it's had a spell put on it. It's the witches, and that scene, and there's one moment in it. You know, people love this movie, and there's one moment in it where you're like, oh, there's the dog head at the end of a broomstick being held by the prop guy on the guy's neck. You're like, nope, and then cut to the dog, and then, you know. So
That's sort of what I mean.
The way we've shown violence, but part of that is our ability and willingness to withstand unbelievable violence on screen, which we never would have accepted before. So, you know,
most of my critiques are about scenes of violence, stabbings, and shootings, and things like that.
Violence is better. So the movies that did it better are the movies that just didn't do it. You see a guy get shot, you see a little blood, and they'll focus on his pain, and they won't really show it. And if you don't see it, then you don't really complain about it. But when they try to show it, it can be rough.
Will you agree that trailers were awful before, like, the mid-90s?
I don't know. I think trailers are awful now.
I feel like you're making like movies really bad, bad experience.
But this is a trailer specific. If you watch old trailers,
you just said they were edited bad, and now you hate the trailers.
What are you watching old trailers for?
When I watch an old movie, when I watch any movie, I'm interested in seeing the trailer.
All right, man.
That is so bizarre.
Is that so weird?
Yes.
Okay, I bookend my movie experience in two ways. Before it, I watch the trailer. After it, well, I used to do two things. I would watch the review on What the Flick, and then I would go to Wikipedia and get more information about the making of the movie.
What I don't understand about the trailer is, you do that for a current movie?
Yeah, I still
Why would you deliberately want to get lied to and sold a bill of goods by people whose sole purpose is to get you excited about something which you might not get excited about.
Because they're, I think that they have become very good at it.
I can't stand trailers. They're lies.
You guys, you are too miserable
are lies.
People.
No, no, okay? I don't, first of all.
Just kidding.
I'm a miserable person. you nailed that. I am happy to watch a trailer, but I don't like to watch a trailer until after I've seen the movie, if possible. I'm not saying that I run out of the theater, but when I get to a theater early enough where I see trailers, I always think, yeah, I'm gonna wanna see all these movies because they're gonna look great. Because I don't like commercials on TV. I don't know why we want trailers.
Plus, there are plenty of trailers that don't make me wanna watch the movie.
It's like a little sneak peek.
Plus, they give it away. Plus, there's too much.
They do give it away too much recently.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just say, Muhammad was from Tunisia.
Oh, okay. Like,
if you were going to go see this Barry Jenkins movie, right?
Okay.
The Hate You. What's it called?
The Hate You.
Oh, no, you're thinking about Beale Street.
Yes. Sorry. No, I'm thinking of the not Barry Jenkins movie.
Right. The Hate You Give.
The Hate You Give.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to see The Hate You Give, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I have not seen.
Right.
But I'm anxious to see.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly pretty powerful, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice to not know that the kid was going to get killed early in
that movie? That's not what the movie is about, though. See, you're missing that. It's not what the movie is about. The movie is not about him getting shot. No, but I've read the book, and it's not about this. But it's obvious, even in the trailer, it's about how this young black woman girl in these two worlds, how she deals with that.
And I got it. Yes, it's clear what it's about. It has to be about that because they give the dramatic,
And it's obviously also the first 5 seconds of the movie.
But why wouldn't you let people experience that first 5 seconds?
They want to see it
because
in the first place?
Because that's not the most important part of the movie.
It might not be the most important part of the movie, but there's no reason not to entertain people until you get to the important part.
So then what do they tell you the movie's about then?
I don't know. Mix it up.
Wait, you can't have it both ways, okay?
No, I am telling you there is a way to do that, that was included in there, and that is you are buying a line of thought that's going to be strictly from the market. I guarantee you, we know who directed that off the top of my head? Obviously, I got it mixed up. So the artists don't want that revealed. They do want as many people to go to their movie as possible, so that will be what the marketing people then come back at. Well, do you want us to sell your movie or do you want us to not sell your movie? And he'll go, all right, sell my movie, right?
Yeah.
But that said, if there's a dramatic moment that gets you in the first 6 minutes of a movie, that sets you up to experience that rest of that movie differently. It is a great thing to go into a movie and have even a plot point that might not be relevant, or not a plot point, because the plot point's relevant, but even that it might not be about that. It's not about who killed that kid or. But that said, it is still different. They could show us the thing, they could show us drama, there's plenty you could show us, but because they gotta give us a 4 minute trailer, yeah, I guess then you gotta give us the key point.
No, there is no way to explain what battle she's facing or that she's facing a significant, struggle.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
It sounds like a preteen.
No, you show the cop coming, you show the tense moment, which they do, except then we hear
2018 in America.
Right,
you show the cop and the kid in the car, we know what's gonna happen.
Well, then you really don't need to show it, do you?
You don't, but I also think showing it, in that trailer, they don't even actually show it. But it's still watching that, I think it's gonna be powerful enough. Because
I'm not knocking the movie. I'm sure the movie is gonna be powerful.
I'm talking about the shock value isn't gonna be it even in that moment. You're not gonna be missing anything. I think it's still gonna be.
Oh, it's not gonna be a dramatic moment when a cop kills an innocent 16-year-old
at the beginning of Selma? I see the four little girls, and I immediately know what it's going to be. It's my favorite Spike Lee documentary.
But that's the documentary.
I predicted the end of Titanic.
But no, exactly. And so you see these four little girls.
I thought they were going to get far enough left.
You know what's going to happen, and it's still like totally like hits you in the chest when it happens. It's okay if you know that part. It's watching and experiencing.
I can't believe you used an example of a thing that actually happened as you're not to betray it.
This actually happened too. Just yesterday.
Right, and probably while we had this conversation.
Right.
All right. Anyway, so John, for the love of God, don't say things like, old movies, the editing sucks.
I love any critique that relies on a fake version of the voice. But I will say, if you go back, and you could do it right now on YouTube, you watch the trailer for Big, they give, like, I was having someone who's never seen it before, and I was like, hey, let's watch the trailer first. And I had to stop the trailer in the middle because they were giving every single development in order away.
Well, I mean, I have nothing further.
Okay.
Good
movie, though.
Yeah.
Good movie, they should remake it.
Yeah. So, Big is not an old movie.
I know, it's in 1983.
I thought 88.
It might be 88.
Yeah.
A movie is older than you as a human, like, you're not allowed to call it old?
No, I just mean, when you say
oh my God,
when you say right?
not even, oh geez, you're young.
You were born after 1988?
I thought you said 83.
Oh, 83.
Oh, okay. So you were, I said 83, but I was wrong, apparently. Oh.
Yeah,
I think it was Nightmare on Elm Street, might have been right around
83.
There.
Nightmare on Elm Street is 84. Okay. Big is, I think, 88. But 88, there it is, 88.
Yeah.
So Big is 30 this year. And in fact, we showed it this, we brought it back to the big screen.
Oh, really?
The big screen with an intro by your friend, Ben Mankiewicz.
Really? Well, good movie.
Bad trailer.
It's kind of weird. Some of the stuff that happens in the
Give
business
it all
is a little
away.
Bit me too-y. Yeah. No, but it's good, though.
But I just think the phrase old movie means something. Like, yes, of course, a movie could be old if it's older than you.
Okay.
But the phrase old movie, classic movie, they tell you something. You know, we were sort of on the forefront in America of this art form. I mean, we're led to believe that, I mean, first of all, the Germans started it and the Italians and the French, they knew what they were doing too. Mm-hmm. This is the greatest export we have is entertainment, and it started with movies, right? Mm-hmm. And so the phrase old movie means sort of from that era when the Hollywood studios were churning out these great movies. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I don't think, when you say, I saw a great old movie, I saw the third Indiana Jones.
First of all, that's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
It's amazing, but no, that's not what I mean. I just mean that 80s movies have a feel to me.
Sure.
They look sort of similar, they feel sort of similar.
It's not a great artistic era. The music also has a very definite feel to it.
This is hilarious. This has gotten so deep.
Do you not watch movies in the 80s? Anyway. I'm trying to get a new career, okay? I got to learn this stuff.
So, yeah, no, but 70s movies have a feel, unquestionably.
See, I haven't watched a lot of, like, The Alien, I think, was in the 70s. I watched that.
Fuck off.
Wasn't it?
No, it was not.
Alien came out in 1979, John.
Oh, 79,
and
yeah.
And don't tell me that movie has lousy editing. Because if you
that's fine.
Well, the editing on Alien was just
such lousy editing.
Oh, now he's doing it.
John, you want to watch a really good example of how silence is used, especially in the editing process? Watch Alien again.
Okay. Alien was great. Well, hold on really fast. No. Alien was great. I saw it in Synespia last year. But I thought you were going to say 2001 because I went and saw 2001 with Bart.
Well,
it needed to be edited way tighter. Wait, take a scalpel of that thing.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, that said, I'm gonna.
Is that really you?
That's Bart. Look at his hair.
I had a good run. Yeah, that was me. That was my sweet spot.
You look like a kid from high school in an 80s movie.
That's me at 18 years old, my senior year.
Looks like the picture that they show on the news right before neighbors say, I didn't think, he was really quiet kid. I didn't really think he was capable of anything like
that. I mean, the dogs did start disappearing, but.
Occasionally wake up really early in the morning and
so
I heard some strange noises.
Sorry, you were gonna say?
Can we talk about some movies I've seen? Like, I don't know.
You haven't seen Alien?
Waiting to Exhale, Clueless.
Clueless is being remade.
Candyman.
I don't know Candyman.
Candyman.
I haven't seen it.
Candyman is good. It's with Michael Madsen's sister, Virginia Madsen. She's the girl in Candyman.
Oh!
Yeah. A terrific actress.
I'm terrible at seeing movies. Terrible.
I've been doing
Black
better.
Panther.
My girlfriend watches a lot of movies.
I have not seen Black Panther, believe it or not.
Black Panther's good.
But I have a hostility to movies about, wait for it, superheroes.
Because this can go.
Yeah, that's right.
It can go in a lot of ways.
It's one of the best of the Marvel movies.
We only have 3 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so
we're gonna make it good.
So again, first of all, 1967 and 1976.
This is
the
not
greatest,
make it good.
Greatest ten. The greatest ten-year run in movie history. So there's just
1967 and 1976.
Unbelievable 10 years.
What are you including? Star Wars?
No, that Star Wars is where it ends. But Star Wars is
that killed it.
Three.
Huh?
Three.
What are you including in there?
We'll talk more.
Okay.
Just give me
In the Heat of the Night, The Graduate,
Okay.
You know, just Bonnie and Clyde, just from 1967. Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, Easy Rider.
Midnight Cowboy.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, that's
MASH.
Good.
Midnight Cowboy.
Midnight Cowboy. Yeah. There's like, I mean, there's 50
I've seen some
unbelievable
of those.
Movies.
I've seen one of those.
The last detail,
Forrest Gump,
but
I think.
Okay. So
it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
Politics,
okay.
Politics, Chinatown. Thank you. 3 Days of the Condor.
I haven't seen Chinatown.
Oh, your first, the first president you voted for.
First, so the first president
you
I voted
promised
for.
That.
You were gonna, you John Kerry.
I think it was, yeah.
In 2004.
Yeah, the 2000 election, I was not into politics.
How old were you?
I entered college in 2001.
All right, so you weren't old enough anyway.
Yeah, I was 14 in 2000, so I know for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I probably was wasn't old enough. But I also wasn't paying attention anyway.
So at 20 years old, you voted for John Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you living?
Norman, Oklahoma.
Okay. You did not carry Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So I voted for in the general election in 1988, which was the first year I could vote. I canvassed in 1984 for Walter Mondale and Geraldine Ferraro, but I was not able to vote. Mondale,
wow.
Ferraro, for a better tomorrow. That was the last chant I ever had.
I don't
so
do
wait,
chants
who did you
either.
Vote for?
So chance. In 1988, the primary, I voted for the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Oh.
And I thought at the time, oh, I'm going to be glad to tell this story. Like this is going to be, this is a better story than Mike Dukakis.
I met Jesse Jackson a couple weeks ago for the second time, though. I met him in Memphis before years ago, but I met him at Crustaceans in Beverly Hills.
Is it a restaurant?
Yes.
Oh.
I
think it's just called Crustacean. You know how black people add an S to everything?
I did not know that either.
Black people and my father.
Yeah.
Oh, it's George Hendrick. It's George Hendrick. There's no S.
Sounds good. Anytime in LA, there's a restaurant that's just like one noun. It's usually pretty good. Like meat,
so
animal.
I knew Mike Dukakis was going to win the Massachusetts primary, but I just thought this is a good vote, and I was like, and Jesse Jackson's shaking things up. He's making them talk about things that they don't talk about. So I liked that.
Yeah, I remember liking Dean. And thinking he was exciting. And I remember being pissed off at the whole Scream controversy and everything. And then I went for John Kerry, which now, I mean, look, our expectations were very different back then. But also, like, that was very different than under Trump. But those were dark days, too. I mean, we had had, you know, 9/11, the Patriot Act, the run-up to the war in Iraq and everything. Those were really dark days. Like, I remember feeling as a young person, like, that was when democracy was going to fall apart in America.
Yeah, well, it was now just makes us gloss over that time.
Right.
And how bad it was.
And how bad it was.
Yeah, I mean, the tax cuts and then, you know, Katrina a little bit later on, like those were bad days.
And then what do you know? They were so incompetent and so disinterested in government that the economy crashed.
The economy collapsed, yeah.
There's like, we all remember where we were at 9/11, but like I remember being in third grade and they took us all in the library when the building was bombed. And I remember seeing that and all the blood on the news and the stretchers and everything. You think about stuff you miss, like Dan Quayle, I miss that. And finding out, like going back and like looking at all of that as an adult, it was like.
That's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Dan Quayle.
Yeah.
Man, what a colossally bad choice.
Yeah.
Like.
So we gotta end, right? Yeah, we don't have time. We didn't have time to go into our backgrounds super depth. We'll do it in a future post game.
I don't really have much.
The
kind of news you got to explain that. What made you want to talk about this stuff?
John Kerry's going to run for president, probably. I would guess. I mean,
really think?
I do. I think
you
do.
Again?
I do. Yeah, I think he'll run for president. I just learned. You know, we forget all the time. Deval Patrick is almost certainly going to run for president.
I love him.
No, he is the.
I hear Michael Avenatti is putting together a team.
All right, relax.
And you know who has worked for Deval Patrick since he came into politics? David Axelrod worked for Deval Patrick before he worked for Barack Obama.
There's going to be a million people. It's going to be a mess. It is going to be the Republicans last time around.
Yeah, I bet there are more.
My mom moved to Massachusetts when I was like, I don't know, 9, something like that? 8, 7? So I have to vote for Patrick.
Now you have to vote for him.
He's only had one elected office, governor of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Impressive if you can get it.
Guess how many your president has had.
He must have had something important. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, everybody. See you tomorrow.